Hallelujah. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. Far as I know, there's still a Bible Reader's Banquet in the plan. Everyone that reads their Bible through can come in January free of charge. Free is still better than cheap. What book are we in? John. Who wrote it? God. That's right. That's right. Brother Brian, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Thank you. What chapter? Chapter 12 is right. What verse? That's right. Verse 23. Let's do a little bit of review here. Let's go back to 21. Try to get our mind back to where it belongs. John 12, 20, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. I'm glad us Greeks get in. I'm glad it's whosoever will and anybody can get in. 21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Yes, that's what we would see today. That's our prayer. I hope you don't see Brother Rick. I hope you see the Lord. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And we looked at some things we could tell Jesus about. Now let's look in verse 23. And Jesus answered him, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Can you remind me what His glory was? What time was that? What was that? How about the cross is correct. He called that His glory. I want to turn my head sometimes, but He called that His glory. He didn't call it when He rode in on a white stallion in chapter 19. He didn't call that His glory. I might, but He called the cross His glory. On the cross, He was tearing down the middle wall partition that separated us from Him and the Gentiles and the Jews, like we already said, saw in verse 23. In verse 24, the Lord is crucified and multiplied. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Right. The Lord had to die. The life of the world depends on the death of Christ. God had to die so we could get in. A mother brought her little baby to Robert E. Lee and asked him to dedicate it, to bless it, to pray over it. And he held it and said slowly, Teach him to deny himself. And that's what the Lord did. He denied himself. He wasn't thinking about himself. We were on His mind when He was on the cross. It's what the Lord did. It was for us. He was born to die and born to die for us. And this, it says a corn of wheat. I'm more familiar with a grain of corn, how to grow a stalk and maybe have three or four ears on it. And each one of those ears has an even number of rows, like the Creator made them. And then all the kernels in that row would grow that many more stalks and that many more ears. But it's also true with wheat. The same thing with wheat. You could plant just one little old grain of wheat and grow the whole stalk and end up making all kinds of loaves of bread. But the Lord had to die. He had to be crucified and multiplied is what He was doing. And verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You find a verse real similar to that, not the exact, but almost real similar, five more times in the gospel. Must be pretty important for me to do like Robert E. Lee prayed and deny myself and die to self. Matthew 6:24, we see another example of it. And you find a couple of those verses in Matthew, one in Mark, two times in Luke, about denying ourselves and dying. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Then verse 33 is real famous. You can probably quote it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord first. Then His hour's come. He's been saying all along, it's not time yet. And He will be glorified in His death. But that's not the only time. He was glorified in every miracle. He's glorified in His resurrection. And then when He comes back, His return. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now in this verse, we've got the word serve or servant three times. So it must be pretty important. It must be. Let's look at it again. Here's one thing right off the bat. If any man serve me, let him follow. You know, follow's really easy. The one out front gets all the conflict, got the machete, cutting down all the brush, blazing the trail, go through all the conflicts. To follow's easy. It's lonely at the top. It's lonely if you're the first one. If any man serve me, let him follow me. You know, after Calvary, everything's easy.
Yeah.
After that. I mean, He blazed the trail. He showed us the way. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Consider this quote with me. Well, this is a verse, first of all. Exodus 5:1 says, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, the Lord wanted His people. I hope that's why you came this morning, is to feast. What about that?
Yeah.
Come and dine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, there's some requirements in front of that. First of all, there was a Passover and there was bloodshed in Calvary like we're talking about. But the Bible said that self-same night at midnight, the children moved out. And they started on a 3-day journey to the sea, and then He led them across the sea into the wilderness to dine. Now, if that night at midnight, it's not recorded that this ever happened, but if someone would have just put their pajamas back on, went to bed, got up the next morning, started gathering straw and making bricks again, no one would have considered them delivered. Nobody. Nobody. The devil, the Pharaoh, he wouldn't have considered them delivered if they stayed in Egypt, if they stayed in the world. Moses, he wouldn't have considered them delivered. The other children wouldn't have considered them delivered. They started on their journey that day from the blood, through the flood, through the cloud. They got baptized unto Moses and then into the wilderness. Consider this quote. The purpose of the Lord God of Israel was to have His people completely delivered from Egypt and separated unto Himself in order that they might feast with Him in the wilderness. Entire separation and deliverance from the land of death and darkness. Not only from Egypt's brick kilns and taskmasters, but from Egypt's temples and altars and habits and associations and principles and maxims and fashions. To do that, to feast at the table, they had to separate. They had to go through the wilderness. They must be a thoroughly separated people ere they could hold a feast to Him in the wilderness. Thus it was with Israel, and thus it is with us. they had to be fully delivered before they could feast and before they could serve. Now, we're talking about servants. I haven't got off the subject yet. We're still on verse 26. They could not serve if they had not been delivered. Have you been delivered?
Yes.
Have you? Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Not just delivered from the penalty of sin, but delivered from this present evil world and its belongings to intelligently serve the world. The world is to the Christian what Egypt was to Israel. Separation from the world is not local and physical for us, but moral and spiritual. Israel left Egypt in person. We leave the world in spirit. Israel left Egypt in fact. We leave the world in faith.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
It was a real out-and-out, thorough separation for them, and it is the same for us. Let my people go that they may feast with me in the wilderness. That's why you're here this morning. You had to be delivered first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some say this is narrow-minded. But really, I'd rather follow the narrow mind than the world, than men's philosophies and their opinions. It's the Bible is infinitely greater. Let's look at this. The Word of God's infinitely greater. 26 again, we're still talking about serving and servants. If any man serve him, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, in Genesis, we're told that the animals were put here for our use, and I can't think of a better example of a servant than a horse. A horse has been serving mankind for millions and millions of years now. No. No. 6,000 years since Adam said, I think we'll call that a horse. Right there. I mean, the horse has plowed our fields so we could plant that wheat and that corn we talk about. The horse pulled the stagecoach. He carried Sir Lancelot into the wars and carried the mail on the Pony Express. I'm going to use the horse today as a picture of a servant. But I tell you right up front, the horse is useless if he's not broke.
That is right.
Are you broke this morning? Am I broke? Have I been broke? First would be the halter. Would a horse have to be broke to a halter first thing? I went to put a halter on and jerk their head up. I was standing on the reins one time, already had the bridle on, and she jerked her head up and put me on the ground. Just those reins just jerked my feet right out from under me. You got to be broke or you're no use to the master. See, you're the master to that horse, and that horse is made to serve you. That's what he's made for. How about to lead? After the halter, we're supposed to lead. Can the Lord lead us around by the nose? Can he do that? Or do I buck and carry on, pull back? Do I pull back? How about load? Will they load? One time, Kim found a horse, Ad, and wanted to go get us up above Clarksburg. We went up there on Saturday. And she rode the horse. I rode the horse. It was a good horse. And she said, okay, we'll take it. And he's never yet got him in the trailer. He's still up there at Clarksburg. He wouldn't load. It was a good horse. He'd do a lot of things, but he wouldn't load. So he's useless to Kim. Kim still got her money. But she didn't get the horse. Will you shoe? Will you shoe? Will you clip? The horse got to have shoes on him or he's useless. If he don't have shoes on him, you only use him in the grass. He's not good for the master everywhere. You can't take him out the gravel road if he don't shoe. Will you hold up or will you pull back? That horse got to hold his... Nothing more fun than trying to train a horse to hold his foot up and shoe him at the same time.
Yeah.
He needs to hold that foot up. Or you really got your work cut out for you. I got really low standards on a horse. If he don't kick, bite, or buck, I figure it's a good one. Good horse. Old spark plug, best horse I ever had.
Yeah.
I told the preacher there was an axe handle leaning against that fence post, and I told him, I said, you go in the field with the spark plug there, you need to take that axe handle with you. Well, he acted like he never heard of such a thing. But anyway, if they don't kick, bite, or buck, they're pretty good horse. And then they got to get the saddle on them. What if you bought a horse and never had a saddle on? You got to learn to get the... Would you saddle up for the Lord? Would you let him ride? Would you? I used to work at a stable, and they'd come in there, and I'd say, now, today, was you wanting to ride English, or was you wanting to ride Western? See, and I know nothing about English. They always rode Western, no matter what they said. English, that just looks uncomfortable and awkward. Yeah. To me, so we always rode Western, but I would give them a choice. And then how about harness? Would you hook up on a harness? You got to have a lot better horse for a harness because you control the horse through those reins. And on a harness, on a wagon, you're a lot farther away from the horse. And you got to have a lot better. Would you harness up? Would you work on the left or the right? Does it matter? We'll have a Christmas play here. Would you work on the left or the right? Would you like to work in the back and turn the lights off and on where no one sees you? Or do you have to have Jared's job and be right up front where everybody see you? Left or right? How about on the trail? Kim had a horse that had to go in front. He'd pass everything. He'd figure out a way to get in front, and then I'd ride old faithful spark plug in the back. So she wouldn't kick nobody else.
Yeah.
You had to keep her in the back. Can you run in the front or in the rear? Either one the Lord wants to. Will I ride in the front or the rear or in the middle? Well, we work with children. Or it's gotta be old people or what? See, all horses are like people. They all have something wrong with them.
That's true.
Now on a horse, you just gotta find out what it is. You probably already know. You already know what's wrong with me. See, but you get a new horse there. You got to find out what's wrong with it. You don't know yet, but I'll guarantee you, there's something wrong with every horse.
Right.
You got five horses in a field. You buy you a new one and turn it loose. They'll fight. They'll fight maybe for a day or two till they figure out who's the boss, who's number one, two, three, and that'll never change.
Right.
That'll never change. Till one of them dies or you bring in a new one. But horses are like people. There's something wrong with all of them. After the boys had been through two or three ponies, their grandma found them a horse up on Tioga Road, a pony, Black Bill. And he was perfect. He was perfect. He would ride great, maybe for a day, maybe all day, maybe 2 days, but then all of a sudden he'd just take off bucking with no warning. When he thought I wasn't watching, a lot of times. Wonder what happened. When the Lord can't see me, what do I do?
Yeah.
When he can't see me. Old Black Bill. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I told the boys, I said, when you can ride him out, when you can ride Black Bill, you can have a horse. And they took their turn. Each one of them rode him out. But Black Bill was always trying to get out. He's always trying to get out of the fence. And I come home. He had a lot of problems. He didn't just have one problem. He had a lot of problems. I come home one day, and he was just standing there like this. He had barbed wire wrapped around all 4 feet, and he was just standing there. He's afraid to move, and I couldn't make up my mind whether to cut him out or not, but I finally cut him out. He was always looking over the fence. He really wasn't that good of a servant. You know, the grass is always greener over the septic tank. And he was always looking over, trying to figure him out a way to get out. Brother Charlie come up to the house one time. And he had a couple boys, Steve and Rick. And then my boys was there. And they wanted to ride Bill, so they was riding bareback. And they'd start out around the field. And over here, there was a little hump, and we couldn't see from where me and Charlie were standing. And every time they'd come around from that hump, here'd come the pony and a boy walking. And that done happen three or four times. I don't know if it happened all five times. It seemed like it. And I said, let me see. And I got on him, and I took him down there. And, man, I run him and run him and run him till his tongue's hanging out about that far. And I said, now here, take him around now, see what he'd do. And I thought I won. But the next day was Sunday school, and I couldn't walk. I mean, every muscle, where I was holding so tight, every muscle. And it took about a week to get over that. One time we were riding around the mountain. You go up the road past our house, and it made a circle come down to the Methodist church. We called that around the mountain. Took about an hour and a half. We rode it a lot. And I come around the curve, and there was Dave sitting in the dust. Bill Dunn left him sitting. And he loved to do that. He wasn't a very good servant. You wouldn't do that, would you, if the Lord wanted you to carry someone? You wouldn't do it. Oh, I hope I wouldn't. One time, I'm still on servants. I'm not off subject.
Right.
Yeah. One time, we learned the Italians was coming home for the summer. They was going to be there all summer. I said, Kim, we got to get a pony. She didn't argue. She said, oh, yeah. Yeah. So I watched the ads there. And I found a pony. Go to Richwood, turn left at the red light, go all the way top of the hill on Cranberry Ridge Road. You can go out there and hit Cranberry. And there's a little brown pony. Had a white Blaze. We called him Blaze. His name was Blaze, I think. That's what we called him. And pretty little pony. And they said, he's got a saddle and no bridle. Well, I couldn't figure that out. I just had a big question mark. And I asked him, I said, how come he's got a saddle and no bridle? They said, well, he had a harness, and it was the same bridle for the harness and for the saddle. And we sold the harness, and the bridle went with it. It made sense. And I tried not to be too excited, but I think Gene Thomas was with me. And on the way home, I said, man, we got a pony horse. I mean, a buggy horse. All we got to do is find a harness and a buggy. We got it made. You know, it's going to be great. And so I go home, and at night, call around looking for a buggy and a harness. I find one over at Craigsville, and I'm asking him questions about the buggy and about the harness. And he's answering questions about the buggy and about the harness. And he just starts telling me about the pony. And I said, well, we got a pony. He said, the pony goes with it. I'm guessing what that's going to be. But we go over there, and little gray pony, Billy. Now we got Billy and Blaze. And we're all set. I mean, that buggy, that'll haul four or five grandkids. And they can almost all of them ride at once, you know. It's going to work out wonderful. Wonderful. So the next morning, I'm all excited. And I'm out there. I got that gray pony harnessed up and the buggy, and I'm riding around. Kim's getting ready for work. I said, Kim, come over here and try this pony out. Man, it's just everything. Even in a harness, you could take two fingers and steer him. You didn't have to use the whip. He stopped real easy. Just did everything perfect. Kim took him out across the field and back. and went to work. And we said, yeah, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. And so she left, and I put the brown bug horse, old Blaze, put him in the harness and the buggy. And I did that in the yard, and I needed to get him through the gate to go in the field, about from here to those doors. And I'd tap him with that whip, and he'd take one step. I'd tap him again, he'd take one more step. And I'd tap him again, he'd take one. You want me to keep going, or you got the pick? Yeah. Well, I was pretty aggravated the time we got through the gate. We got to the gate, and I tapped him, and he skipped first gear and second gear. Amen. He skipped third and fourth gear. He went right into fifth gear overdrive. However fast he could go, and I was pulling all I could pull. It didn't mean nothing to him. And we was headed downhill, and down there at the end, there was a barbed wire fence, and so I bailed out. There was some fellas working on the garage that tried to get me to do it again. So, it's pretty sure they could make $10,000, you know. Well, I did try it again. I went down there on the level, and I caught him, and same thing. I was wanting to go over here and turn and go back across the level. I'd tap him. He'd take one step. I'm talking about servants balking. Yeah. Balking is what I'm talking about. No use to the master is what I'm talking about. I'd tap him one step. Tap him one step. Finally, we got to the end of the row, and I turned him to go this way. And then once again, man, he put it in overdrive. There we went, wide open, and I bailed again. That time it broke the buggy. I had to take it and get it welded and stuff like that. I'm just saying, sometimes I'm no use to the master. Before he can use me, I got to be broke. I got to be broke. And it's not a one-time deal. You got to be broke for a lot of different things. I told Kim later the problem was this baby. We had a baby colt. He's 13 days old. And we'd messed with it some, but evidently not enough. It was a colt whereon yet never man sat. Yeah. Now that lesson was last week, but here's the picture. And man, that thing kicked Kim right there. It went all the way through on the inside. And there was snow on. She left a trail to the house just like tracking a deer, you know, I mean, it was everywhere. And she soaked like three of my handkerchiefs, I mean, real fast. We went to the ER, and that lady's filling out her form. And she said, "It happened today." I said, "No, it was last week. We just now got time to come in." You know, they got their form and fashion they got to do. But that baby is going to be useless to the master unless he learns something. Unless he gets broke. Unless we're broke, we're useless to the master.
Yeah, amen.
I'm talking about useless. Useless.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We would, there was five of us, Kim, three boys, and we only needed five horses, but I'd always keep six or maybe more. Because I like to find stuff that was green broke. I'm not a cowboy. I didn't get them to buck out. But you know, green broke, they don't know left from right, and they're done. They don't know. You kick them once, and they take one, stuff like that. And I'd ride it for a month or a year, and when it was good, I'd pass it down to one of the boys, and I'd get another green. We'd sell one, and I'd get another green one. And I'd keep six in case you come over. You might want to ride one. But anyway, I called about one time, and I was asking him questions, and he said, "Oh, it's an expensive horse. It's a high-dollar horse. It's got papers that long, and we got it off the farm up at Lewisburg. It's registered. Got all kinds of good bloodline." And I said, "Well, now, how much is you wanting for it?" He said, $200. Unless I got to catch it. He said, "Now, if I got to catch it, it's going to be $400 or $500." I was still dumb enough to go look at it. The next day I was off work. There was a big snow on. And I went up and, it had its tail up in there and it was going whoosh, whoosh, across that field. It was whoosh, whoosh, back and forth. You couldn't have caught it with a 30-06. I mean, it was just running wild. He said, I'm going up there tomorrow. I said, you can go with me if you want. I got it on a 3-day feed cycle. I said, well, what's a 3-day feed cycle? He said, well, I go up there every 3 days and dump out a sack of grain. Well, if you know anything, that's all protein. You can't do that. That's what's making him run like that. He's all keyed up, like Briscoe said. He's all keyed. But anyway, I didn't buy that one. I didn't buy that one. My brother, I'm still talking about servants. My brother had at one time, 40 employees. And he had this fella, he told me about one time, every day he was 30 minutes late for work. And it aggravated my brother for a good while there, and finally, he learned to adjust to that. Like he would send the other, I think two of them in a van. They didn't all go out in vans. He had office. He would, by the time my brother would get the other 38 lined out, what they were going to do today, then here he'd come. And my brother adjusted to that. And then he figured something else out. He said, it is every day. He came every day. He never did call in sick. He didn't miss work like the other employees did. He said, I finally figured out, hey, he's every day. He's only 30 minutes late, but it's every day. He got to where he could depend on him. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes I'm 30 minutes late every. Yeah. Or sometimes I just call in, lay out. We're talking about servants now. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, I think we'll just quit there today. Maybe we'll be servants. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to be a faithful servant. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.